When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
Hello and welcome to Clicker, I Barely Know Her, a The Last of Us HBO TV show recap and review podcast hosted by three comedians.
Live on HBO and streaming on demand on
yes,
HBO Max.
That's yep. Right. It's not TV, it's HBO. My name's Ben Bunnell.
Home box office.
I'm Ben Bunnell. I'm joined by my two co-hosts, Adam Knox.
That's me.
We're sharing a L-shaped couch.
Yeah, we are. We're sitting at opposite ends. Just to make sure no one gets any episode three ideas. We'll make sure we don't. But it's a big, big couch.
It's a big old couch.
L for Last of Us. We bought this couch just for the pod. And we're going to sell it at the end of season one and then buy it back for the start of season two.
That's right.
I've got an O couch at my house. And Ben, you've got a U couch.
Yes.
And I don't know why of gets put in there, but the thes get dropped.
Oh,
it's
good
not
point.
Real bibliography. Bibliographic.
Well,
when you had to do a bibliography,
this man's be sitting in a chair that, from my angle, also looks like an L. It's a recliner chair,
sure is.
And it's Tommy Dassler.
Hello, it's not
a
W. It's not radio. It's a podcast.
Yes, on this podcast, we recap and review The Last of Us, the TV show. For the first 75% of the podcast, we just talk TV show. No spoilers for anything outside of that. No spoilers for the games or any other media related to the show. And at the end, we go into a very special quarantine zone where we do talk spoilers for the games, part one and two.
And stuff, and then therefore stuff that hasn't been seen on the TV show.
Yeah. Yes.
That's the spoiler section.
Yep.
Clearly marked when we get to it.
That's right.
You've got time to run over to the other side of the room where for some reason you keep the podcast controls.
Yes.
To get the lift down into the podcast bunker and press stop. Yeah, we'll let you know.
But yes.
No spoilers for anything that hasn't aired.
Thank you for all your emails during the week.
Yes.
On all range of topics. We love all the feedback we're getting from people and the theories and everything, but specifically the people that were overjoyed at the fact that Clickers had finally been mentioned by name in last week's episode.
Yes.
Yeah. And God damn if it didn't happen again in
we
this
got a
one.
Second, yeah.
We
second
got a second. We got a second. Yep.
Yeah. Well, the guy who mentioned it the first time, he didn't make it through the episode.
Oh, the clicker curse.
Yeah.
If you say it, maybe that's why no one says it in this world.
Wait,
it's like it's
Did
like
Joel
the Scottish play.
Was it Joel who said at least there's no clickers?
It might have been
maybe Ellie.
I think it was Joel.
Fuck.
Oh.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wowee.
Clicker, I rarely say it.
Yeah. Thanks for the emails. Clicker, I barely know her at gmail.com if you want to get in touch. Also, we're on Instagram. If you do say the word clicker in your message, you may die.
Yep.
So just be careful. And we've got a few emails we'll get to before we jump into episode six. Kin. Interesting name. Don't know what it's a reference to.
K stands for
yep.
cold.
Yeah.
I stands for I. And N.
This motherfucker can't spell kin. I don't want to be too negative on this episode, so I won't. But I did not love this episode that we just watched. And someone wrote in last week, off the back of last week's episode. James wrote in and sort of echoed something that I'm starting to feel a little bit about the show. James reckons that one thing that keeps coming up for him is a lack of faith in the audience when it comes to the writing.
Mm-hmm.
He's still loving the show and thinks it's a great adaptation. But yeah, they're having to have a few very on the nose sort of conversations, and some of the lines are a bit clunky.
I think even from Ep 1, a lot of people felt like the Joel standing there with the guard out the front of the quarantine zone,
mm-hmm.
and he's got the gun pointed at Ellie, and he's having the little flashback to his daughter.
Right.
I kind of think that I'm sort of noticing it less and less, just because like that's the note that the show got off on for me. It's like, right. Okay, they're gonna do a bit of this. Right. Across the show for whatever reason. Like, it is pretty on the nose, and it, yeah, maybe it would be nice if they were a little more
subtle
about it, but for whatever reason, they're just feeling like they got to drive it home.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, that's, I think, like, we got some emails about just some dumb shit that we've been doing on the show. Someone, I think, mentioned enjoying our hypothetical what Britain is like.
Oh, yeah.
In the apocalypse,
K
which is
stands
nice.
For Queen.
Yes.
I stands for I, N stands for dead.
Now, ooh. Now he's done it again.
Can I read you my favorite email from during the week?
Yes.
Hey guys, I'm fascinated by the idea of pop culture stopping at 2003 in The Last of Us. And I realized the other day that Matrix Reloaded came out in May of 2003.
Yes.
And The Matrix Revolutions came out in November that same year. Imagine living in a world not knowing how badly that trilogy ended. What bliss. There would be a whole subculture where they debate how the films could have ended, and all of them would be better than what we ended up getting. Which, this is my favorite thought exercise with this world.
Yeah,
is,
yeah.
Is this kind of stuff. So feel free to keep these kinds of things coming into the inbox.
Absolutely.
Welcome to We Talk Kung Fu, our Matrix recap podcast.
Yes.
Where we go through and figure out what the world... Yeah, Enter the Matrix would have come out on the PS2, the Xbox, and the GameCube. And
hell
PC.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good game.
Cool tie-in thing.
I liked it, yeah.
It probably would be in this world, the like roaming theatre troupe that are just doing what they they're doing their version of Matrix 3,
yeah,
right?
Okay.
Because it's the biggest question in the world at that time of like... Some pretty good action sequences in 2. Doesn't have an ending. It all hinges on what happens in that third one.
Mm. Anyone who was movies only for Lord of the Rings only got Fellowship as well.
Oh.
So those
yeah.
books would have been in high demand.
Hot property, yeah.
Oh, hell yeah. yeah, lots of emails which we've all read all of. They're all, none of these are marked as unread in Gmail.
Mm-hmm.
We're reading all of your emails. Very conflicting opinions on Kathleen.
Yep.
Which I think was represented by the general populace watching the show.
Mm-hmm.
Adam, not Adam Knox, a different Adam, said Kathleen is the worst, and sort of had an issue with her as a character, as an unlikable character. Whereas yeah, Ryan, who was the very next email in our inbox, said I love Kathleen.
Yep.
So real either ends of the spectrum there.
Hey, we're finding out who's the who are the Henrys and who are the
Perrys.
Perrys.
Well, speaking of which, I think Sam wrote in and said I agree with Tommy. There was definitely sexual tension between Perry and Kathleen.
Mm-hmm.
I still think you're both wrong.
Mm-hmm.
happy to put that out there. And before we jump into the recap, there was a question from Laura, who's a New Zealander living in Kansas City.
Yes.
Oh, interesting. Very interesting setup. I think the show is actually all filmed in Canada. So,
yep.
Yeah. But anyway, Laura wants to know, if The Last of Us apocalypse hits... Do you want to stick it out, or do you want to just hope to God you get taken out in the first wave?
First wave, absolutely.
Coward.
Yeah, I've always thought this has always been my big...
Absolute coward.
My big barrier in any kind of apocalypse zombie media.
Mm.
People are like doing everything they can to cling on and survive, and it's like, this world sucks.
Brother, this world sucks.
I know. I was going to say, like, that's not far off of where you stand currently. So I understand. I think, yeah, I'd have been out there going, like, I know I saw the Matrix Revolutions.
Yeah.
And here's how it went. And then making the whole fucking thing.
Sure. Making yourself valuable. I know the secrets.
You're right. There would be people who, like, you know, it's like the Wachowskis would have to just be traveling around telling people.
Yeah,
you know.
People filmed it. There were screeners or whatever of it out there.
It did exist.
There's a Jackson in this world where the kids get to watch Matrix Revolutions and they're like, oh,
Yeah.
We should have stopped.
The early days, it would be a Joel-type character transporting the Wachowskis across the country because they're so valuable.
That would have been great.
IP is in their head.
A really fast car, which gives them an idea for their next project.
Yes. That would be great. They turn up to Jackson and, you know, the early, not to jump ahead, but the early view they get of Jackson in this is, like, very pleasant, just a functioning little society. And then if, like, the first thing you saw, you walk in and it's, like, big bonfire. And Joel's thinking like, oh no, we've just found another civilization that's just like
burning
as bad and
burning
people
bodies.
Are probably getting hung in the streets. But literally all it is just they're burning all the film canisters of Matrix Revolutions that they got their hands on and had one screening of. Like, no one can ever see this again. Oh, this is a travesty.
But yeah, I think like Knox, I would hope to be, I want to survive. I want to survive now.
100%.
Living in Jackson looks beautiful, honestly. That is my dream. Living in a community that is in touch with nature, is self-sufficient,
right.
And keeps out certain people.
You can have Jackson. I'm going to be like these two right at the start.
Yeah.
Hanging out
on
their own, living it up the way they did even before it fell.
Yeah.
Which is how we start this episode. We've got a rabbit hunter.
Yep.
Going back to his lodge.
It's Elmer Fudd himself.
And you know what? Wabbit season is very much on.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's got three of the fuckers hanging off of a thing, and he gets home and it's clear something's up and his wife is being held at gunpoint by Joel.
Yes.
And Ellie's who's up in a cool little mezzanine upstairs.
Mm.
And
beautiful Airbnb this would make.
Oh, yeah.
Bet it would be.
It probably is in real life.
That's probably just how they got it.
Yeah.
Had to move the Live, Laugh, Love plaque off the next to the door.
Hey, we've already got cameras in here.
Yeah, everything's filmed from the perspective of the mirror. There's a lot of shots of Ellie, like, filmed from above the toilet. That's odd. They've been traveling for 3 months because the very opening we get is a repeat of Henry killing himself.
Yep. And a little 3 months later title card.
I guess, to show us. I thought at first, like, oh, this is a weird previously on, but it's like to give us the context of what 3 months it's later
right.
on from.
Yeah, and I wondered if that was going to be a bit of, that felt like to me what we were talking about before, a bit of like an on the nose. Again, it's like this, you know, we'll be dealing with the ramifications of them having gone through that and witnessed that. And it's like, yeah, we get it. We watched the last episode. We know what happens. But yeah, just giving context of time is fine.
Yeah, I think that stuff, because it happens in particular a bit later on with like where you know Joel's thinking about Sarah because they've just talked about Sarah and it fades into a shot of Sarah and you're like,
and they show a girl that looks like Sarah from behind,
just sure, a bit of the hair,
and he's having panic balloon. Attacks. Yeah.
But I did also, because we were talking about that before, I forgot to mention, feel that way about Chernobyl.
Yeah,
Craig Mazin. Mazin.
It's Mazin, but we like to say Mazin.
Craig masturbating.
Yes.
Craig Mazin.
That had that same thing for me. I remember like some shots of people standing in the radiation falling down and it being like, and it's like, yeah.
Right.
I don't really remember. But it didn't strike me with this episode for whatever reason. I just like...
Yeah, it really got me this time.
For some reason, I just I'm sunk in. I think I'm watching it from the perspective of like...
A fan of the show.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like yeah. I'm going in with the mindset of... Robbie Williams style, let you entertain me.
Oh.
It's sort of a reverse Robbie.
No, the TV show is Robbie Williams to you.
Exactly.
You feel like you're at a Robbie Williams concert.
That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. And the opening
one of the great performers.
Every TV show's theme should just be let me entertain you. Because that's what it's out there to do.
The more dramatic one's going to have Rock DJ if it's like, I want to get affected by it.
Right?
Millennium has no meaning to me, though. Anything that's, I guess this could.
Yeah.
Because it's set, you know, the fall happened close to that. But so they're in this cabin talking to these, you know, sweet old couple.
Yes.
Who are helping them out with...
pretty untouched by the apocalypse, it seems like.
They're doing their thing. They already wanted to leave. Well, the husband wanted to leave.
Yes.
The wife is like, I don't want to fucking come here, but I guess it's good now. And he waves her off.
Yeah.
It's nice to know that even 20 years after the fall, we've kept those gender roles nice and firm.
Oh, yeah. They mention, like, to avoid there's, like, a Native American reservation nearby, I think, and they're like, avoid that anywhere people were...
And that's exactly. Like, they've got a lot of space
here.
Yeah.
Other than... So that Joel and Ellie are there looking for directions. They've kind of gotten lost in this 3 months somehow.
This Joel spent 3 months being like, I'm not asking for directions,
yeah.
All right?
Yeah.
All right, if I'm going to ask for directions, it's a gunpoint. That'll make me feel okay about it.
This did give a bit of like Frank and Estelle Costanza, where the guy's like, you made him soup?
But they let them know, okay, this go. If you're looking for that way, go that way.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to go west, hey, here's the fucking, here's a tip, go east.
Yep.
Ah, yeah.
There's a few, I think that's what's striking me. A few of the lines are a little bit like lost. You know, it's a little bit network drama, a little bit self-consciously, you know, like that was a typical one where it's like, I know what he's going to say before he says it.
Sure. Oh, yeah. Line.
It's, I can't on paper disagree with you, but for whatever reason, the show's letting it wash over me.
And I do believe that the what we have left to go in this season will be good.
Well, so a lot of this episode, you know, not to get into quarantine zone, this isn't, but is pretty out of the game, mm-hmm. especially sort of the second half.
Yep.
And I'm finding the writing translates well.
I think that the overall, like, the direction of the show is great, and it's certainly given me confidence in it. But yeah, I think it's just a bit of dialogue stuff.
Just, but yeah,
it takes me out of it a little.
This jumped out to me that later on when they're getting held up and Joel says something like, how about we just talk about this? And the guy who's pointing the gun at him goes, how about you shut the fuck up? Or mm-hmm. something to that effect.
It's
And it's like, in my head, I was like, that's close to being on one of those lists of like, don't have a hold up. You know what I mean? It's like, right. I feel like I've seen so many scenes of a hold up where it's like that exact
mm-hmm.
back and forth.
Mm-hmm. Again, to go back to the fact that Matrix Reloaded is the most recent piece of massive popular entertainment.
Valuable resource, yeah.
These guys are going on the cutting edge still.
Yeah, that's true.
We haven't gotten that fucking single camera arrest of development bullshit where everyone's trying to undercut your expectations. It's proper Ross and Rachel, were we on a break?
That's true.
We need to return to.
Well, it's not going far enough in that way. I want to see when those guys are holding him up, I want to see Joel kind of put his hand out and do the like, you know,
come
the
here.
Neo like come here kind of motion, you know?
The come here.
The come here.
The come here rouge.
The come here.
She gave me those come here eyes.
When they're programming him at the start and just putting in a disc that's just labeled come here.
Yeah.
Get over here. he's warning him about this river that's to the west. It's
the river of death.
I think Ellie just starts calling it that.
Yeah, yeah.
That, yeah, they're like, if you go that far, you see dead bodies all the time. Something fucked out there. We don't know what, but just avoid.
Yeah.
Yep.
But that's where they got to go. So they start heading out that way.
Joel has his first panic attack, mm-hmm. I guess, since that time in that confrontation outside the Boston quarantine zone.
Yeah, again, this is become a bit of a template. The ringing in the ears kind of stuff, mm-hmm. the sort of everything going all foggy, hearing little...
Clutching the heart, clutching the chest.
Little snippets
saying
of kind
out loud,
of...
I'm having a panic attack.
Yeah, which I'm like, they go longer than 30 seconds, mate. Sometimes they go for 24 hours.
The whole rest of the day done.
Yeah.
You could even say you've been having one since 2003.
Yeah, yeah.
Some fucking people.
Most unrealistic thing in this show about zombies.
Yeah, it's something that he hasn't had before, and obviously it's been 3 months since the pretty rapid leave, test dies, got to keep moving.
Yeah.
Sam. So like...
Whole town of people eaten by a bunch of zombies that come out of the ground. That was pretty traumatic.
And this does come up later, and he talks about how that's all really affected him. So this at first didn't really land for me, the sort of, just because it's done in a slightly tropey way of kind of the panic attack. But I also, to hear him describe it later on, it's like, okay, no, this tracks, and we haven't seen them for 3 months. So it's like he's really been affected by all that and sort of probably increasingly been having these moments happen and realizing that he's got to keep that from Ellie because they've got a soldier on and he's leading the way. And
you see more and more during this episode. Like, they don't discuss what's happened during the 3 months. We don't know. They've clearly bonded a bit more.
Yeah, and they're doing okay. You know, like, we've seen them in worse circumstances.
Yeah.
But you can tell, I mean, and from stuff Ellie says during this episode, how much she's gotten to the point where she's like, I'm relying on you.
Yeah, yeah.
You are the only life raft that I have currently.
Yeah. But is still able to be kind of independent, because after they leave this little shack, we see them camping out. Joel says he'll take both watches for the night.
Mm-hmm. She's stolen a rabbit.
Wakes up Joel wakes up the next morning and is immediately like, sort of,
oh, I slept through the night. What the fuck's
going
on?
Taken aback by that. He fell asleep, and we find out Ellie saw him asleep, took the second watch. She's gone and looked for higher ground. She's looked for tracks. She's done all this stuff. So she's picked all this stuff up.
Yeah.
And this
same is as yeah. her, like, the whole time. She's actively trying to learn this stuff.
Yeah.
She keeps asking, like, give me a gun, please. Teach me what to do. Like, I want to... She recognizes how dangerous the world is and how much you need to have a skill set.
Yeah. And she's only ever been left alone. So she's like, this is probably going to happen again. If and when it does, I need to be... It's time to be ready to take care of myself.
Yes.
Fully in this world.
So, yeah, they're sitting around this fire before she has to take the watch, having a little chat to each other. About
a little gas bag.
Little chin wag.
Yeah.
Past the nights under the beautiful Aurora Borealis?
Yeah.
Which one would be showing up there?
Yeah, yeah. Because Australis is south, right? That makes sense.
That would make a lot of sense to me, someone who lives in Australis.
They're doing a little acoustic podcast.
Yeah. and they're talking about, like, say it all got healed. And I can't believe this didn't come up for 3 months.
Yeah.
Say that this works. What do you want to do? And Joel wants to be a sheep rancher.
Mm-hmm.
Ellie wants to go straight to the moon.
Yes. Mm.
Yeah. She's a fucking stonk, man.
She's she's GameStop, baby. Yeah. Very funny, though. Like, yeah, a really normal, grounded response. And then, I want to go into space.
Yeah.
But obviously, and like when we see her, you know, taking that watch in the morning, holding the giant gun, just looks like such a child.
Yeah.
Which I feel like this is also underlining.
And it's sort of like, it's weird because it made me think about, like, well, Joel has this sort of realistic idea and can clearly picture a world where things are different and he could have a different job because he has a reference point for that.
Right.
But Ellie... doesn't like she doesn't know what a contractor is like so why it almost is like the world being unfucked is so crazy to her that it's exactly the same as like I'll fly to the moon
she says like I grew up in a quarantine zone. All you could do is look to the ocean or a wall or up.
All I've got is me and this dog Gromit. Yeah. What am I going to do? I'm going to go to fucking
moon. Taste for cheese.
These ain't my pants. So yeah, he wakes up, freaks out.
Yep.
She's got the watch all sorted.
He's still resistant to like trusting her with that responsibility, but she keeps trying to prove it.
I think that's the thing, is less that he feels like she's incapable at this point and more that he feels responsible.
Totally.
Yeah. He is kind of, as much as he's saying you're not my daughter in the previous episode and says it again here.
Yeah.
He is kind of reveling in that relationship. And part of that is, creating those boundaries and being like, no, you're too young.
And
you see here in this sort of walk they have up the river where she's asking about, like, teach me how to skin a rabbit. And they get to the dam and she cracks a joke and he's like, you know, fucking whoever wrote that book, the joke book.
Oh, yeah.
Will Livingston?
Yes.
So, you know, they're bonding about...
They've got callbacks now.
They've got that lighthearted part as well as the no... bedtime, whatever. Yeah. They're also...
There's nothing funny about dams. Don't believe what you read in that book.
Yeah. We've got to have some lines there with our joke making.
I'm sick of dam jokes. We need to stop them all. We need to set up a barrier.
Mm-hmm.
You can tell that I mean it because I ain't making a joke right now.
This episode should have been and basically is called You're Not My Daughter, brackets, but kind of you are. Like that is... the very explicit point of this episode.
Yeah. Now, you're saying some of the writing's irking you. I think if we'd fired up Binge and seen that as the episode title, I don't know, it would have really taken me out of it.
I would have respected it, honestly.
The Joel brackets are just a bridge too far for me.
Father and daughter, let's find out.
Yeah.
And they keep walking up and realize post the dam is the actual river of death on the map. They've been thinking they've had this easy trail.
Yes.
And immediately when they realize that, cresting over the hill is a...
It's a posse.
Yeah. You
gunslingers.
Yes.
They're real cowboy motherfuckers.
Yeah, look at
one of them's even wearing a cowboy hat.
Two of them.
Two. Multiple hats. There's
Pardon
a third
me.
In the background.
Oh, there must have been a sail on.
Someone got infected with cowboy hat. It's
I bet
spreading.
The guy wearing the hood feels fucking stupid.
Yeah. Maybe he's a junior member.
He's got to be the runt of the group for sure.
Yeah. Or they rotate, you know, it's not like more hats are being made.
So
they got to have a hat roster.
Yes. We find out these people love a roster.
They do, yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
Because they show up and they've got a sniffer dog there.
Yes, they do.
Yeah. They surround them and it's a bit tense, but they're clearly not like
baddies.
Fuckheads. Yeah. Yeah.
I would have loved a whole breakout episode on how they trained this dog to sniff for infected.
Yeah, they just put some cocaine in Pedro's pocket is how they did it in production.
Yeah.
But yeah, they've got like an infected sniffing dog, which yeah, I guess they just show it some mushrooms and teach it the scent.
Yeah.
Oh yeah,
same
I guess.
As any sniffer dog.
Yeah, true.
But I loved this moment of Joel being like, well, she's not infected.
Yeah.
But I don't know what is in her, you know, how.
Yeah, what are the rules of this? Yeah, yeah.
If the dog's, you know, smells it, then I'm gonna have to.
She's gonna get ripped apart by a dog.
Yeah,
that's that. I found that bizarre that they're like, not only does the dog do the sniffing, it also eats you if you're infected.
Yeah.
We've got so many guns and cowboy hats.
Yeah, mm.
We could fling a cowboy hat out at a killer, Odd Job style.
Not unlimited bullets though.
Exactly.
So. Dogs yeah. do have unlimited dogs.
Yeah, yeah. they can make some more.
But it's all fine. Not only does the dog not smell infected on her, it's giving her a little kissy on the face.
And
yeah.
It's noticeable here that Joel is like, again, he's not taking the gamble of like, let's leave it. He's frozen.
Yes, yeah. Totally.
And then he has like a look of a bit of shame afterwards and like,
he's overwhelmed.
It's made clear later what that is.
Yeah, the Joel of 3 months ago probably would have been subtly, you know, reaching for the gun, getting it ready to go just in case.
Or, like, come up with some lie or, I don't know, like...
Tell a joke from the book.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Where's
Did
the door,
that
not a door?
Over there? Well,
I thought, and maybe, again, this is a sign of what has happened to him, that the first thing he would have said is, like, where I'm looking for my brother, he's supposed to be in a settlement nearby.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it's like, what's the worst thing that can happen is they'll be like, no, let's continue with the dog thing.
Yep.
And I think more quickly he would have been like, she's immune and taken his chances with how they treat him by maybe selling her out a little bit.
Yeah.
Obviously, he doesn't make that choice and he feels stuck maybe between being the old and the new Joel.
Mm.
Old Joel, he is old. Also old, wood, which is what they've used to construct a big fence surrounding this beautiful town of Jackson that
this
we come to.
This real Sovereign Hill-looking motherfucker right
here.
Yeah.
This they're off to sift for gold and eat like that weird candy that someone told me was made out of bugs.
Yeah.
Oh, bug kid. Candy. Yeah. Sovereign Hill is basically like olden times reenactment town in Victoria for
it's
anyone
basically,
who's not from here.
It's a place. It's an educational place that you get tricked into going when you're a little kid who grows up in Melbourne.
Yes.
By being told that it's a theme park.
Right.
And then you get there and you're like, hang on a minute. Something's not quite right here.
Yeah. It's a set of Deadwood, basically.
I'm being taught things.
Yeah.
I think in the US there's a lot of those, like, that type of place with, like, Civil War era towns.
It's Colonial Williamsburg is the American one.
I remember going to Sovereign Hill and, like... They've got a bowling alley there,
mm-hmm.
but it's old-fashioned bowling where there's no holes in the ball and you've got to bowl it between your legs at the things.
It's like, and it's like nine pins, right? It's that old style.
They hadn't invented the 10th pin yet.
No.
But they still have the screen where, like, if you get a strike, there's a little video of, like,
they have
two pins having sex and then a
third
pin comes in and it's like finds him his wife cheating with his friend and murders the pin and then strike comes up.
Yeah. It's actually just puppets with this. They hold up a dead turkey. But the guy was fucking yelling at me for not bowling right. And I'm like...
Oh, really?
I remember being a kid and being like, I'm not from then.
See, I went as an adult and I fucking loved it.
Yeah, I would love it now.
Now that you mention it, it's probably the place to go when shit kicks off here.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Have yourself a bunch of pickaxes and a bunch of long-lost brothers.
Now, you say the wood looks old. Tommy looks younger than before the pandemic.
He's looking healthy as hell. He's thriving here.
Yeah.
He's got a beautiful, clean denim two-piece on.
Yes. How is it that clean? Fucking hell.
Well, there must be a Mr. Simple on this main street. They've built one of them.
And, this town is a functioning town. That we see just people going about doing normal town shit.
Yeah.
There's a Christmas tree set up. I love Joel's reaction to seeing Tommy, too. Like,
yeah.
Really good acting of just, like, this desperate relief.
Yes.
Of yelling out his name.
And he kind of does look different enough that it's like... because, like, when was the last time he supposedly saw him?
It's been years. They were traveling in that gang. It's before he got married.
He sees him and he just... Almost involuntarily just screams his name.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Doesn't even like get up and walk over to just make sure, just like bellows it across the street.
How did it feel to have Pedro Pascal like emotionally yell out your name?
Oh, if we can wrap this up and you guys get out of here so I can just loop that bit a few times.
I'm not wearing my glasses, but Tommy's got slightly longer hair, I guess. I genuinely didn't know if it was Tommy when he started screaming at him.
I'm not positive he had a mustache back in the day.
Yeah.
I don't think he did. Shorter hair.
That mustache new.
I mean, it's because, yeah, like we haven't. And also, we haven't seen him for a few eps, and even when we did see him in ep one, not for a super long time in that ep, so, yeah.
But yeah, fuck, his older brother looks like he could be his father almost.
Mm.
Yeah, right. It definitely wasn't that much of it. And this guy fought in fucking Desert Storm.
Desert Storm, yes.
Which was in the 90s.
91, 92, yeah.
And now, 2023, he's looking grand.
That's what I mean. He literally looks even younger than when we first saw him.
If I saw that man, handsome, thick black hair, tell me he fought in Desert Storm, I would fucking film him and put it on YouTube on one of my Stolen Valor compilations.
Because Joel's 57.
56.
56. So yeah, Tommy's got to be his younger brother, but he's still...
he's figured it out.
He's his younger
Tommy's
brother.
His younger brother.
But he's been, right. What, 50?
At the youngest, like, late 40s, surely.
He's got a little pepper in the mustache, but...
It does look like his hair has been dyed, I will say. It's a very, very even black.
That would have been a great scene if he, like, leads Joel. Like, while Ellie's getting the haircut, it's just Tommy leading Joel. It's like, here's where we keep the Just For Men lizards. No shame in it, brother.
Yeah. We got a whole Rogaine shack here. That's great. We got everything you need. You're welcome to stay.
Well, they also got a bloody wife.
Yeah, so they have a little conversation, have a hot meal and everything.
Yep.
And, kind of briefly, like, they're like, so you're the scary people that these other guys were telling us about. And they're like, I mean, yeah, but just having a bad reputation doesn't make you bad. And Maria, who is, we find out, Tommy's wife, very pointedly says, almost first thing she said at all to Joel.
Right.
Other than approving of the, how about you shut the fuck up earlier, is...
Yep.
Bad reputation can mean you're bad, though, and has clearly heard some stories about Joel here.
Right.
Yes. I also love, this is another trope that I love, the TV or film shorthand for, like, you know, when he goes, how about you get out of here and we have a chat of just family? And the rather than just go, I should have said this earlier.
We are married.
We're married.
We're family. It's,
instead, you have the, like, they're just holding hands to just convey.
Yeah.
No words necessary, my friend.
But then he says, we're married.
I get it. I've seen the rings.
He's got a new wife here.
And because Joel wants to actually have a chat and this just, like, they don't have a chat. It puts the kibosh on it. They're like, well, let's all go have a walk together as family.
Because there is a tone of, like, clearly Joel's up to one of his adventures, which Tommy has gotten out of in the most, like...
He's moved
to small-town America after all of that's been blown up.
Yeah.
So it...
He got forbidden from going on the radio.
Yeah, they should call it Jackpot Jackson. Because he's hit the fucking jackpot.
He has hit the Jackson. Oh, yeah, it's Jackson. I don't think we said, right?
We mentioned that, they've got this town Jackson.
Yeah.
Is the name of the town.
Yes.
And they have a walk around there and they're like, we keep it safe by, we don't fucking tell anyone about it. We're pretty far away. We don't get on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
Tommy and Joel have a bit of a Tommy has a guilty look of like,
yeah. Yeah,
so it's
that's
unclear.
Why I haven't been calling as much. Sorry, bro.
Because that was only a few months ago that he stopped calling on the radio.
Yeah.
It was like a couple of weeks before they left the QZ.
Because that's why, Joel went and saw his mate in Boston to check up on him. And
So I'm unclear of the timeline of like how long Tommy's been in Jackson for, when exactly him and Maria got married.
Mm.
Yeah.
Because she's high up here in Jackson. She tells us she's like one of the council members who are democratically elected.
Yep. Mm.
Tells Joel like, we're communists.
Yeah,
this is a commune and we're doing communism and
I like that when she says that, Tommy stops. He's like, what?
Because they walk away.
It hasn't occurred to him at any point.
Say, so look, it's literally happening now.
We literally live in a commune. He's like,
But I thought I lived in America.
Brother, once we get bacon, then we'll have it all.
I like that because it was like, you know, he fucking fought in Desert Storm, which is still about that shit.
Right.
Like, he...
Oh, it's about oil, my man.
It's all about the oligarchy.
It is. The oligarchy.
Whoever this fucking Mr. Garkey is. First name Oliver.
In regards to him being on the radio, I guess he mentions that he's gone out and he's been doing,
I think he might have been
little,
sneaking
like,
off
raids and stuff. So he could have ended up at another spot and been checking in. And like he says, he's trying to keep it a bit more careful now, probably coinciding with finding out that his wife's pregnant, so it probably has happened around that time.
That's
like,
true.
I'm not going out anymore.
She looks maybe like she's about 4 months along or something, 3 months along, which is what it's been.
Yep.
So that would make sense if that was the instigating thing and he was sneaking off. Because he looks guilty. He looks guilty to Joel when the communist thing gets mentioned, because it's like, yeah, he's not doing the fucking every man for himself bullshit that they were earlier.
Right. Where they had to sacrifice a lot of their own morals to just live. It's a little... Yeah.
And it comes up when they're in the bar later of like, Joel has this thing of like, the tone is, you think you're fucking better than me?
Yeah.
And the answer is, yeah, I figured this out. I'm in a way better position. You're welcome to come here.
Mm.
But that would obviously be quite humiliating for you. They've got a lovely bar.
Yeah.
Big block of ice fresh from the ground outside.
Yep.
Yeah, he's like, I got scotchy, man. I am doing better than you.
Yeah.
We've got pigs maybe soon.
Yeah.
I don't know what our plan is to find pigs.
Yeah.
But we've got a vague plan of, you gotta get wouldn't it be nice to have a couple of hogs?
At least two.
Ideally.
And then you
can... And you want to have... Like, if you got a boy pig and a girl pig...
Mm-hmm.
I learned this the other day, right? If those pigs love each other very much...
Yep.
Then you've got to shut up and never ask me about this again. That's what my parents told me.
And then you get bacon.
You calling up your parents. Mom, Dad, how does bacon get made?
By me, you never fucking cook.
Yes.
When you were a kid, when you lived here. I live alone. Anyway. There's also, like, Tommy asks about Tess and Joel lies.
Yep.
Yeah, brutal.
He also lies about, you know, what's the deal with Ellie? It's like, some bigwigs kid.
I'm getting paid to transport her. It's nothing.
Mm. Yeah.
It's some bullshit stuff that I'm doing. I'm up to my old tricks. Do you know where the Fireflies are, though?
Mm.
And there's a college further south, 10
days
ride.
Yes. Colorado, it's in, right?
Yeah. This part of America, by the way... The shots that I suppose are of Canada.
I was going to say, yeah, this part of Canada.
But also, this part of America looks similar.
Mm-hmm.
This part of the world.
Yep.
Beautiful.
So beautiful.
The dream landscape for me, I think.
It's incredible. The River of Death looks beautiful.
It's insane.
So blue.
And like, if it weren't for bears...
Yes.
I'd want to live in the woods there, but I know a bear would kill me.
Yeah.
I'd think it was my friend.
Or it would take your house. Right? Yeah.
And my porridge and all my fucking beds. Yeah. I've got three beds depending on mood and the bears are in all of them. But yeah, they have this kind of bit of a confrontation here about like Joel hasn't moved on and Tommy has.
Right. And Joel can't show any like compassion or empathy or anything for Tommy's current life. He barely says anything when he finds out his brother is having a baby.
Yeah.
Right. And I think part of this as well is like, yeah, he's like, well, yeah, we'll see if you'll be a good dad.
Yeah, yeah.
And Joel has progressed more than he's letting on, but he kind of can't tell, or he doesn't want to tell Tommy about Ellie.
Yeah.
And what he's doing. And maybe doesn't recognize in himself that he's maybe grown a little bit recently.
Yeah, he slips back into probably like similar to, you know, when you go back home and you're around your parents, you just regress.
Right.
It's like it puts him back into...
He's still the older brother, so that is a role that he has to play. But yeah, not only is he unwilling to show like, oh, I've softened a bit, he's also unwilling to show like, Tess is dead and this stuff is really getting to me.
Exactly, yeah. He's because like these panic attacks, he's not telling anyone about him, not for another 6 minutes.
Yep.
And I'm also, and I'm also now shouldering the responsibility of this person who could very well bring about the end of this horrible pandemic we're living.
And at the same time is reminding me of my daughter.
Yeah.
And I'm having to deal with the thing that I have spent the last 20 years completely blocking out to be unable to have even a regular adult romantic relationship because having anyone close is too hard.
And to have a daughter surrogate where now I'm just worried that she's going to die like my other daughter did is...
I mean, now that we're saying it all out loud, this is a lot for day one. So I kind of can't fault him too much on that.
Sure.
Tommy as well is like clearly not... like the grudge is Joel's or like the grudge that Joel think Tommy has is his, because he's like, yeah, what, you think you're better than me type of thing. And Joel and Tommy's like, no, we did what we had to do. Like, yeah. I don't blame you. I know we killed people, but like, we would like, it's shit's crazy.
Yeah.
We didn't have Jackson, but now we know that this stuff like this is possible.
Yeah, we kill people, but you know what else kills people? Clickers. They're called clickers, Tommy. Never forget that.
Although, I will say that we do get the implication that Maria has blamed Joel for everything Tommy's done.
Yes, totally. Yeah. She clearly thinks Joel is bad news.
Yeah.
Mm. And so...
And Tommy isn't, because Tommy was just following Joel's orders. I think it's kind of what she says.
She says, yeah, pretty much exactly that later on. Joel sees a kid with hair that reminds him of Sarah.
Yep.
During a panic attack near the Christmas tree. She's got Sarah hair.
One of those rare kids with hair. Oh, just like Sarah used to have.
And then, yeah, Ellie's getting set up with... thanks to Maria, with like this very post-apocalypse thing that happens in like games as well too, where this house in this town that they're living in, no one's fucking tidied it up.
Yeah.
Still this kitchen. And I guess it's an empty house. Why would you go in there? Mm. There's people living in this town though. And it's like I remember in Fallout 4, in towns that they live in, there's still fucking shit all over the ground.
Yeah.
Like how come you guys haven't picked up that sheet metal?
Yeah, it's real weird.
But anyway,
well, so you can pick it up and use it to craft some buildings of your own.
Well, then, thanks for being so thoughtful.
Yeah.
Nox, can you scrub back just a little bit? We've got the episode kind of playing.
I'm currently cleaning a window while we're recording this, by the way. That's what Tommy's asking.
We pause on here because we get this this Hold bit on. Of set dressing of this house that Ellie is staying in. And
Very
there's a thing
untouched since 2003. Yeah. Used to be a kid's house.
There's a thing pinned up on the board of the top 10 hottest boys.
Oh,
and I want to see who this 2013 rated as the hottest boy. Who's that?
Oh, they're from their school.
Oh, from their school. Okay.
Well, we've got Freddie Thompson is number one with 2 exclamation marks.
Okay. Yeah.
But there's been an arrow moving Ben Monty from number 5 all the way up.
Don't mind if I do.
He's hotter with his new haircut. Love heart.
Okay.
We've got Taylor Marks.
Yep.
M-A-R-X. Very appropriate for this town.
Wow.
Scotty D. You find him, he's halfway up the hottest list. You don't even know his full name.
He's in number 6, and then there's an arrow pointing to clearly a stock model wearing love heart glasses.
Oh, yeah.
Benny Neville something, Ovid Wilson, someone else. She's crossed out number 9 and written not.
Ooh.
That guy's been a dick. And we've got Hunter Phelps right down the bottom. Oh, and Professor Smeds.
Oh, no.
No.
This girl's trouble.
Yeah, I really thought this was going to be like current celebs.
Yeah, yeah.
Surely Keanu's number one at this era in 2003.
Maybe. I think for a 14-year-old, that would still be weird for it to be Keanu.
Could be Lawrence Fishburne.
Oh, yeah. Could be Joey Pantoliano.
Oh, Joey Pants. The Ellie, pants man.
Ellie's gotten to have one of her famous showers.
Yes.
Yep.
Yes.
And has been given like a care package from Maria here of some clothes and the clothes from the game.
Yep. Yes.
And
what game?
The clothing simulator.
Yeah.
How good's the recycled paper?
And
she uses for the note.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Noticeably.
Real pirate map looking shit.
Mm, written on what looks to be a typewriter.
Yeah.
Very, also, very clean text.
She's got here now. I'm going to put myself out there.
Okay.
Give this a go.
Very brave of you.
Either a moon or diva cup is, I believe, what they are colloquially referred to as.
Now, I might be putting myself out there.
Yeah.
Were they invented by 2003?
I'm going to put myself out there.
Okay.
Don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably, right? It looks old.
It looks old.
It looks like they could have had that shit in 2003, but she gives
I'm not going to put myself out there at all, which is the bravest position of all.
Which, again, like, you know, here comes this girl with Joel.
Yep.
And she just assumes, correctly, but assumes, like, well, Joel can't be being fatherly to her at all.
Right.
Yeah. And, like, you know.
Okay. I got to call myself out here.
Yeah,
the
I think they were invented in like the 60s or 70s. I'm good.
The first modern menstrual cups, similar to the cups we know today, were invented in 1937.
37?
Whoa.
Yeah.
Damn, this could have been one of those wabba-dabba-dab outbreaks.
Yeah.
And I thought you were going to say May 2003. you got one free with every ticket to The Matrix Reloaded.
Oh. the original ones were made of latex rubber. So, like, literally, yeah, they've existed for
80, 90,
almost 100 years now. Yeah.
Damn. Well, we covered it.
Yep.
I think we did it.
People don't, no need to email in.
Yeah.
Yep.
And that goes in your butthole and it stops you from shitting.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you know, it's just another little thing of like, it's helpful to Ellie and it's caring and it shows like this is nice. But I just thinking about it now, it's also like, well, Joel can't be looking after you. Here's some clothes.
Yeah, yeah.
But also, Joel isn't. So she read that correctly. Yes. Joel doesn't know fucking thing. No.
What if he is looking after her?
She knows Joel had Sarah. She knows Joel had a kid.
Yeah.
Yeah, but also, even all of this stuff notwithstanding, it's like, this is a classic thing just in families when the girl gets to that age and the dad, even in a, you know, even in a full, you know, traditional mother and father household, the dad being like, so like, even if Joel wasn't closed off, it would be a fair assumption.
The dad is a malfunctioning robot.
Yeah. Also, they didn't have fucking moon cups in their traversal across the country.
It's really nice. Yeah. I'm just saying, like, it's another indication where, like, maybe Joel isn't equipped to look after her as
well. Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Because you know, like, we saw
her whole
get
thing
those.
That goes back and forth on here is like, is she better off with me or with someone else?
Right. We saw her get those tampons in Ep 3, but she kind of sneaks away and finds them herself. Joel's like, there'll be nothing here.
Yeah. Yeah.
And also, that's yucky. Stop asking me about it.
And yeah, so she goes across the road where Maria said that she is and has a moment or two alone in the living room before Maria comes through where she sees a little blackboard with some candles that says Kevin?
I think so, yeah.
On the left.
Kevin and Perry on the right, I believe.
They're going to go large.
I'm so dumb. I didn't get what this was. I thought when we first saw it, it was like the previous occupants or something.
That's
you
very
know?
Funny to swing from like, this episode's either two on the nose or I don't get it.
yeah.
But it's because of Sarah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't peg that immediately either. Yeah. I thought this could be, maybe they were both her kids or...
Right. A lot of people have died in this world.
Or just, yeah, or maybe it was like the previous, yeah.
But there's
yeah.
not going to be that many Sarahs.
it's a very uncommon name.
But it does get described later too. And also, I do have the benefit of having recently interacted with this story again. So knowing what's coming and knowing what they're setting up. But like, there's Kevin and Sarah, a little memorial. And then as Ellie's getting a haircut from Maria, she kind of... let slip. Ellie asks a little bit like, or no, Maria's like,
I saw
you looking at the memorial for Kevin and Sarah, and she at least like, sorry about your kids.
Yeah.
I think one was mine. The other one was, Tommy set it up. It was for Joel's daughter, Sarah.
Mm.
And Ellie goes, like that, shakes her head back and forth.
Yeah, terrible for the haircut.
Ruins it. And
that's a kind of messy, you know, it's that kind of messy rocker cut that's popular at the moment.
Hey, Maria, give me the Rachel, thanks.
Give me the Trinity.
Hell yeah.
She learns and it's like, that makes a lot of sense for why he's the way he is.
Yeah.
And you can see Maria's like, oh, maybe I shouldn't have fucking said anything. Because you can also hear it because she says that.
Yeah.
But,
also, Ellie actually doesn't even move at all, which is like, how did you tell? How can Maria tell that she didn't know that already?
Yeah, she kind of freezes up.
She goes silent, yeah. She's not like, oh, right, of course.
She's a fucking
true. She doesn't go, oh, yeah, the daughter I knew about.
Yeah,
oh,
that's right.
Of course, that's Sarah.
Yeah,
we've been on the road for like 4 months now, and it's actually come up heaps.
Again,
it kind of defines our relationship. Yeah. So it's, yeah.
In the game, I'm fairly certain that Joel mumbles about Sarah in his sleep.
Yeah, that
sounds right.
Or
maybe Tess tells Ellie.
Mm.
I can't remember, but I thought this was a good way of doing this.
Yeah. I like how she goes, hey, that's a hell of a haircut you've given me. Were you a hairdresser back in the day?
Oh, yeah.
She's like, no, I was a district attorney.
Yeah. Not much use for them anymore, though.
Yeah.
And recognizes again quickly, like everyone can, that Ellie is clever.
Right.
And when the thing with Joel comes up and she's like, oh, it makes a lot of sense. And she's like, with Joel, just make sure, like, be careful who you trust because only people who you trust can betray you. Which I actually told Craig Mazin in confidence. And the fact that he has put that in his show now, I am really upset about it.
Yeah, right. How'd you tell him? Did you DM it to him on Twitter?
I think you said it in your sleep. He overheard you.
It's a
very
rude. That was my daughter's name, and she unfortunately passed away.
Yeah, I honked the annoying dialogue on that line. It's just it's a little cliche or something. Whereas most of this show, and I think I felt this way before last week's episode, really gritty, really realistic, impressively so. The depiction of the landscape even being so fucked up was like, yeah, I believe this is like almost a documentary, you know? And
sure.
So I think, I feel like it being a little like more, yeah, crafted and pointedly like written.
Lines like that have,
me a bit.
Have a ring of that thing of like, there was that one from WandaVision that people kept reposting of like, what is grief if not love persevering and stuff like that, where it's like, when there's a bit too much poetry to something, it can stand out like that.
Right.
I do get that in a show like this, especially when it is like, yeah, when that is just a very different tone to the tone that it is perfectly executing a lot of the time.
Right, right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
yeah.
I think
yeah.
that can, and I'm just, yeah, I totally get what you're saying. It's not fussing me for whatever reason in this, and I can be very sensitive to that stuff.
Mm.
It will make
so
me
can
cry
I, apparently.
Most of the time.
And I like it's a different director this episode, which I also thought the use of music was... It's a very sentimental episode.
Yeah. The music at the end?
Yeah.
Awful choice.
It literally spells right out the point of the theme of the episode.
And
yeah.
And it just sounds hokey, and I did not like that part, especially when... When you've got the fucking game music playing in this, and they use a fair bit of it in this episode.
Yeah, yeah.
That shit's great.
The use of that music, yeah, which I think, I feel like was, in like the first half of the episode. A lot of the stuff where they are like traveling across country in this episode was cool. Like, as we said, it looked fucking beautiful.
That guitar, wibbling and wobbling.
Yeah,
that, like, that na na na, that like theme that went then when Joel's sort of got his, you know, conflict where he's just told Ellie that he's going to leave her to go with Tommy. And then they have this version of that theme that's almost like the orchestra warming up kind of version where it's just all like loose and like different speeds and kind of real messy.
Yep.
Really good.
Yeah. The kids are all watching a movie.
What was the movie?
Couldn't tell. I'm willing to bet that it's a movie that's something to do with one of the people who produced this show.
Oh, maybe.
Surely, right? You'd chuck in a little
superhero movie.
Maybe it's a Home Alone style. They just made it. But yeah, it didn't look like that good of a movie.
No. No.
I feel bad for these kids. Like, oh, wow, you've got electricity from this dam.
Yeah.
Like, you're able to watch movies 20 years after the fact. Oh, Back to the Future Part 2 is actually great, but that was the one that was always on when I was a kid.
Yeah.
They'd be like, oh, well, movie night's ruined because I've seen this 10 times.
Yeah. Well, because you would have to assume it's just whatever was left behind in the local cinema, but then there would be a lot of, there'd be all 2003 movies.
Yeah.
Maybe this place is like the Astor, though. Maybe they only ever play, like, you know, Short Circuit and Gremlins 2, like, back-to-back on a Friday, and that's all there is.
It seems like it's the big night, because all the kids are there, and all the adults are standing around the edges, having it just like, oh, yeah, this is great. But Tommy wanders off and goes and finds Joel in a little workshop thing. He's fixing his boots.
He's upgrading his weapons.
I thought he was
spending some skill tree points.
It looked like he was reshoeing a horse on that initial close-up.
I thought that for a second too, but I guess just feet are similar to hooves.
Before we get too far away from it, the movie was The Goodbye Girl, a 1977 comedy.
Okay.
Featuring like a mother and her daughter.
Right. Goodbye Girl.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is
what
Joel's about to say.
Yeah.
Now you got to give him credit for that, Ben. No one in the cinema leaning in and going, this is the film, The Goodbye Girl. And I heard there's this guy in town that's, he's about to say that to this girl that he came in with.
Shh. There's a movie on.
I was just saying. You might actually
don't
be
tell me.
In
Shut
more.
Up! I told you to show.
Don't tell me the end.
Tommy goes over and he knows Joel's there, and he apologizes straight away. He's like, "I shouldn't have given you a hard time before." He says, "I shouldn't have said what I said," and I couldn't even recall what bad thing he'd really said.
No.
Doesn't he say something like, "Just because life stopped for you"?
Oh, that
mean
is
that,
a bad
like,
thing.
I still get to.
Actually, he
that's
did
quite
say
bad.
That.
Yeah,
that's
that is
to
worth
his
apologizing.
Yeah, yeah.
yeah. But, life stopped for you when your daughter died.
Yeah,
get over it.
We wrote a fucking name on a blackboard. Yeah. What do you want?
It's been 2 decades, and all you've had to do is try and survive an apocalypse.
Yeah.
But they have a proper conversation now. He apologizes. They pull up a little fucking workshop chair, and
Joel tells him the secret.
Mm.
It seems like he is able to feel like, because, you know, Tommy's clearly the only person left who means a fucking thing to Joel.
Yeah.
Yep.
And so finally he gets to unload a little bit.
Yep.
And let him know, this is what I'm doing. This girl is immune. I think we can fix stuff. I feel like I'm maybe not the right person to do it because everyone around me keeps fucking dying.
Yeah, also Tess is dead, so yeah.
The second I'm responsible for somebody, kablooh.
Yeah,
it's the
Tess
click
is dead.
Curse.
So my life's stopped again, thank you very much.
Well, maybe it should have, that means it restarted, right? Surely that's how it works.
He uses very interesting language that I thought in the reality of this situation where he's so, you know, he says to Ellie very early on in the series, like, don't ever tell anyone what's up with you because if they find out, they'll kill you. The way he describes it to Tommy is she's infected, but she didn't get sick. Mm. And it's like, well, that's not the case. She got bitten, but she didn't get infected. You know, if you're really looking to couch this and like not have someone freak out and potentially kill this
which
child.
Which Tommy does for a second. His first reaction is straighten up, where's my gun?
Yeah.
Like he says that she's infected and it's like, no, that's the whole point. She's not. She got bitten, but I just thought that was kind of a thing. It's like, why would you say it like that?
Yeah, that's dumb.
Joel ain't no doctor.
Yeah.
Joel likes regular guy shit, like building and quiet about any feeling.
Yeah.
But
Joel might be a redneck now that I think about it.
If you're traveling with a 14-year-old girl through an apocalyptic wasteland, you might be a redneck.
But so he...
He wants to be a singer. We learned that about him this week.
He also, like, lets him know, like, I'm having these panic attacks. I feel fucking useless.
Right.
Like, you know, really lays it all out there to his brother.
Give some examples of just, like, this 14-year-old kid, I couldn't do anything about it. I just froze up. Today, I just froze up.
Brother had to shoot him.
I'm losing it. I'm losing it, Jerry.
He is losing it. I think he's losing it a bit too much.
Yeah.
He's struggling. And Ellie, meanwhile, has left the theater and is kind of walking around the town looking for Joel, clearly.
Yeah. Yes. So this movie sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When's 1977? Fuck you. This girl says goodbye. But yeah, has clearly found them and overheard this. We find later because Joel goes back to the...
That felt kind of weirdly clunky, right? Because we don't see her overhear this.
We see her, that one shot of her walking in the street.
Yeah.
That they, you know, have the immune thing saying over the top of it, which I like that little bit of directing of that, like, just silent shot of her.
I liked it, but cool. I didn't
but yes,
like
I had no idea she had a fucking glass to the door listening.
Yeah, yeah.
Again, you can't win with you. They're spelling things out too much. They're not spelling it out enough.
It's almost like they're just not writing very good. And it affects all of it.
Or it takes two to read and write. One person's getting the...
Yep.
It's in the middle. The trip back to the house happens now. He goes back to, like, yeah, this place, which Ellie has already gone back to, but Joel doesn't know the directions to. And she's sitting on a little bench reading a diary from the hunk ranker. And they have a conversation that is like verbatim from the game here.
Right. Mm.
That is like, fuck you, you were going to leave. Which I think she gets told by Maria in the game, which would make more sense.
Right. Maybe, yes.
That was Joel's plan.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't know. But anyway.
Because Maria has there's no love lost between her and Joel.
Well, and I think she thinks that Ellie isn't safe with Joel.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
You know? So it would make sense for her to be like, yeah. But
and
well,
they set up.
She like, overheard it.
Yeah.
Yeah. You see.
You're right. Is like, it is. It
just
yeah.
show one frame. Of
yeah.
Her.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cupid.
Tommy's dog Cupid doesn't like that part either.
No.
Must be a bird on the fence.
I mean, he's listening in to a conversation over the fence.
Oh, at least we not can tell.
Yeah, and he's like, other people are saying, oh, leave him behind, but about something else. And he's like, what the fuck? But no, you're right. That is classic convention of like seeing her just at least walk past the doorway or something when this is doing a lot of other on the nose stuff. Mm. But I guess, I don't know, how do you do that? But then also have her know that be a bit of a surprise kind of thing, I guess. Like
they're compressing a lot of time in the game into shorter episodes too, which I suppose you just need to get from one to the other quickly.
Yeah,
and go like, what's the quickest way to do that?
Mm.
And rather than have Maria say it at a time that maybe doesn't make sense or add that in as a scene, it explains it at least. But you're right, when you spend too long thinking about it,
right?
It is like, what, she fucking crouched behind a bench?
I truly, when she said that, I was like, oh, did I zone out for a second?
And
the bit where we saw that, or did that happen earlier while she was in the house?
Wait, did they mention it when they were on the street as well, maybe?
Yeah, maybe.
Because they are talking on the street before he goes to the house. And we see her walking through the street. Either way, the fact that we don't fucking know.
Yeah.
Is like...
Cause like and yeah, Tommy, with like the point of it to be for dramatic effect, the reveal that she was listening, it's like, it's the next scene.
Yeah, that's
it's,
true.
It's
yeah,
not
yeah.
that much of a...
No, yeah. yeah. It is like we find out immediately
yeah.
with Joel not knocking, but just saying Ellie.
Yes.
Come mm-hmm. on, mate. Learn what a moon cup is and when it was invented.
Yeah. Beautiful little iMac there on the
Oh, yeah.
On the I desk. Loved that too.
Yeah. Yeah. yeah the set dressing for all of this stuff is really good.
Because it's not easy to find stuff that's 20 years old.
Mm. Yeah.
Unless you go to the right bars.
Hey.
She's, yeah, reading this diary and like, this is crazy, the bullshit that they paid attention to back in the day.
Right.
But also, fuck you, you're about to ditch me, so just do it.
Yeah.
And they have this conversation of like, Joel says, well, look, I don't think you're safe with me. And she's like, I haven't been safe with anyone else ever. You're the only person who's not fucked off on me.
Yeah. I'd at least be less afraid if I was with you, the one constant.
Right. And yeah. what are you afraid of? Because I'm not her. And Joel immediately is like, how about you shut the fuck up?
Yeah. How about you keep my daughter's name out of your mouth?
Which... is something I came up with independent of any current events. Yeah, they have a very tense, like, it's Joel's one trigger point.
Yeah.
Yeah, she brings up, she starts talking about the daughter and he just immediately goes, don't. Yeah. Cuts her off don't. Straight away.
Which I thought, again, like not to make but remembering this bit vividly, in the game he says, you're treading on some mighty thin ice here. Which changing that to a simple don't, way better.
Yeah, yeah. Great talk about economy of storytelling. Yeah,
yeah. yeah.
You're really bringing up my dead daughter. But so, I like this too. Like it's traveled quickly, their bond, in terms of minutes of the show.
Right.
Mm. But I buy it.
Yeah,
I,
yeah. Yeah, totally. Yeah, yeah. Totally.
The like the time jump of 3 months where you see them that like she has been learning more and more and they're yep. a little bit like
more
you know,
pally.
They, yeah, and they the holding up the old couple at the start of the mm-hmm. episode and mm-hmm. she was hiding up in the mezzanine. Like they've got their little system worked out for these kinds of things.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
So they have that argument and he's like, that's exactly what's going to happen. I am going to ditch you. You're leaving at dawn with Tommy.
Yeah. Yep. He's more reliable. He's younger than me. He knows the area. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of rational reasons for Tommy to do it.
Yeah. I get everyone I care about killed, which I'm going to go and think about for a while.
Yeah.
Visually. Oh,
and it's, there's a Christmas tree up in the town square.
Mm.
Now that reminds me about a time previous to this that I celebrated the holiday of Christmas.
Yeah, I was wearing my watch.
Fixed. I remember more vividly than I remember my daughter's face. And I was wearing my watch.
And then it has another one like, but I do remember my daughter's specific face.
Yeah, here it is, remember? And you guys remember too.
I actually never looked her in the eyes on Christmas, but on a different day I saw her face.
That's for Boxing Day. We had Boxing Day because we were filming in Canada.
That's right.
This was one of the two moments out of this episode where I did fall more on your side.
Yep.
With like a corporation that has two CEOs, there's two big cheeses.
Okay.
Yes. This is one. What I just said was the other. No, the ending song is the other. But it's right.
This
it's
again is
same
like
exact from the first episode where it's like I know he's thinking about Sarah.
We right. get it, and I know I know that it's like a classic thing of like you can't win even when you make some stuff too obvious. There's still going to be people that miss the point and don't get it. Like mm-hmm. we talked a lot about, I don't think we got too much into it in the pod, but like we were talking during the week after the Bill and Frank episode, mm-hmm. how frustrating it was to us that some people not liking it, that's one thing, but people being like, it had nothing to do with the story. It didn't accelerate things. And it's like, of course it does.
Yeah.
Like it's all there. So it's like you put a little flashback I mean, like, in and people think that's too far. And then you try and just be like, ah, see, and then so it's like you truly can't win.
It's
but then a little thing like this, and the fact that it's Christmas as well specifically is like,
yeah.
Oh, God damn it.
Remember, like family, Christmas.
Yeah.
I mean, look, clearly my preference is to just aim it at the people who care enough to like find the nuance. But But also, yeah, they are making a show that is incredibly popular, we should say. It's like huge, like going gangbusters, and they want people to keep watching. So,
and it's not like necessarily the wrong choice, I guess. Like,
yeah,
it is, because it is also surprising how often people do miss shit like that.
Yeah.
Mm. I'm always blown away by people like, oh, I didn't get that stuff. Like, not like the stuff for like Sarah's show, but not even, but like obvious, this was the point of everything. Right. Like the Bill and Frank thing where it's like,
yeah.
You've never fucking related to a story before.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You don't understand what a story having relevance to your situation is.
Right. I wonder if next season, like now that it's been as big and well received as it is, if they'll, if this was a little bit of like, they realize they're up against it with like people who don't play video games, like, oh yeah, oh, it's a video game story. I don't like video games. And even people that do are like, video game adaptations are always bad. So whether they were sort of like hedging their bets a little bit and maybe like going forward, they'll be a bit more like, all right, people are into the show. Like, you know,
we'll have faith in the audience.
Everyone's
a bit more.
Across it. People are into it. We can take a bit more, quote unquote, risks with the way we're doing some of this stuff. Yeah. Maybe they will back off it a little bit.
It's also just one of those things that you pay more attention to when you're doing something unusual like this, which is like analyzing the show every week after you do it. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
that's
I'm
true.
Aware that our specific interaction with this of having known the story for 10 years now,
yeah,
actively watching it with the eye of like analysis and from the point of view of people who have highly critiqued stuff that they've made for whether it's too bad or not.
Yeah,
you know what
yeah.
I mean? Like,
yeah,
it is unusual. But then also like that same thing where I don't like that choice of like showing Sarah show up, be like, that's what he's thinking about.
Right.
But then it is the thing of like, what's he thinking about if you don't do that?
Yeah, so
like,
yeah, yeah.
But I also, like, I've been watching The Leftovers again, which I loved the first time through. But the second time through, I am being more critical of it and being like, oh, yeah, in every fucking Damon Lindelof show, there's an animal that represents the fucking, you know, trauma that the main character has. And
right.
So, you know, I do just tend to notice those tropes more because I've watched a lot of TV and movies.
And to get ahead of the audience, exactly what we said before. We were just moments ago being like, it's crazy that they didn't show her actually listening into that conversation. So
right.
It's like,
right.
You know, yeah. Stuff jumps out or it, yeah.
And at some point, if you review stuff for too long, you keep going like, this steak tastes like beef. And it's like, yeah, idiot.
Mm. Yeah.
Why does that upset you now? You used to love steak. Grow up. No, Ratatouille.
I want some bloody pepper steak. Mm. Change it up a little bit.
This mushroom sauce is derivative of mushrooms. Like, yeah, man. It's mushroom sauce. You're the problem.
This show is mushroom sauce.
But like, it's some mix of all of them at different times. Anyway.
No, that's the original infection.
That's what I'm saying.
The mushroom sauce.
Cordyceps sauce.
Yeah, right, right. Anyway, Joel's sad for some reason. Who the fuck knows why?
Yeah, what's he thinking about?
Yeah.
Between Sarah showing up for some reason.
What's a bad thing that happened to him?
But yeah, Tommy comes to collect Ellie.
Tommy agrees to do it. Which is pretty big, considering he is married with a baby on the way.
Totally. And he tells Joel during that conversation, like, I can't really do this. But, I think Joel sells to him, like, the steaks are immunity.
Delicious.
Yeah, the steaks are...
The steaks are derivative.
They're a new
it's
kind
a
of
mushroom
steak.
Mushroom sauce, like the thing from... Yeah.
What he says to him is, like, bloody missus got the, you know, cracking the whip too much. Like, he does...
He does say
well,
that,
he does mention...
But he's also, like, imagine if your kid could grow up in a world that was better than this.
Yeah,
one.
Yeah.
And he does also...
But he does also say...
When he's been talking to someone, I can't remember who, probably Ellie in, I think, Ep 3, whatever it is, and he's just describing Tommy and talking about Tommy.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that he's a follower.
He's a follower and you get the sense that he's easily led, and I think that there's a bit of him knowing that, like, and probably previous to this as well, like, I know how to work this guy.
You're right. Sure. And I don't think Joel is deliberately doing it, but it is the dynamic that they have. And it's exactly what Maria was worried about.
Yeah.
Is now happening, other than the fact that Joel changes his mind.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which he went to Desert Storm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's probably going to end up saying yes to transporting this kid.
Yeah.
They go to the stables and Joel, relatively unstable, is there with a horse already. And he's like, come on, Ellie, we're going. And Ellie straight away is like, oh, good.
Yeah.
There's no like animosity of like, no, fuck you. You said no, I'm going with Tommy now or whatever.
She's no, he gives her a choice.
Yeah, he gives her a choice.
Oh, that well, that's true.
He says you deserve to make the call yourself.
Which it seems like he genuinely doesn't know what she would say, but she is like, no, this is a foregone conclusion.
Right,
I wanted
exactly.
to go with you anyway.
Immediately.
Yeah.
And they hop on and go on.
He mentions that he's been there for half an hour trying to get the horse loaded
up.
I'd love to have that as another little extra him wrestling with the horse for 30 minutes.
Oh, the audience might not get it, so we have to see the entire half hour.
Yeah, yeah.
You've got to have him flashing back to horse lessons as a child.
The first time he saw Mr. Ed on TV as a kid.
Yeah, yeah. The horse walking past the cabin, listening in the previous night as well.
Showing the horse being conceived was a little bit too much for me.
Yeah, but you got to know.
You got to know.
You got to know where your horses somewhere. Come from, yeah.
You got to know where it came from.
Tommy gives him directions to this university that's the Firefly's base.
Yes.
Yep.
And they have a bit of a brother hug.
And Joel says, call me Rodney Dangerfield because I'm going back to school.
Da, da, da. Da, 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 da.
But that would have been a great music choice for the end of the
episode. If you're going to have a popular... But then...
Hey, Louie. L-O-U, Last of Us.
Oh. Okay.
Let's him know that, like, hey... You got a place here, you two.
Yeah.
You know, if you need any, Joel says, I'm counting on it.
I'm definitely coming back alive.
They're off. Yeah. Ain't nothing going to happen. Because the whole time as well, Tommy's been like, it's dangerous on the way down, but it's not suicide mission dangerous.
Right. Mm.
They've clarified that. So it's going to be possible for them to do this.
And then Joel and Ellie, after this little, you know, little argument they had where they've come good, chummier than ever.
Mm. Ah.
Really palling it up. Getting some shooting lessons in.
Yeah. With
real father daughter stuff.
Well, how if can you guys prove didn't. That, though?
Yeah.
It's very subtle, Knox.
Well, Joel never had a kid before, so.
Oh, Tommy.
What?
I've got a little flashback to what? Show you how wrong you
right.
are.
Sleigh bells.
Yeah. great band.
It's Tommy's gun, too, that he was bragging about the scope on.
Oh, yeah.
They've set up a little scarecrow, and Ellie's not that good at sniping yet, but Joel. Bang in the middle of their target.
Yeah.
Crazy good at shooting this guy.
When do you get time to make a target and write asshole on it?
Ellie's pretty funny.
Why?
She's why having a little bit of a gag. This is one of the assholes we'll be shooting at.
Okay.
There is a flashback that they cut of Ellie writing asshole on.
Oh, right.
Aiming for the top of the H instead of the O in hole seems. Yeah. I know it's like the middle of the word.
I agree.
It just seems like it, I don't know.
Just
it bothered me.
Wrong.
Yeah.
Because also like the middle of the head, you want to shoot for an eye because there's less skull there.
Yeah.
I assume. I've never had sniping lessons, but I think I'd ace them.
Well, that's what they do in Saving Private Ryan.
Yeah.
No spoilers. There may or may not be a sniper who shoots someone in
the eye. We
should
have a second quarantine zone every week where we only talk about spoilers for Saving Private Ryan.
Okay.
The top of the beach where it's now safe.
Yep.
After you stormed it. They have more chats and they're talking about, you know, the old days and what Joel's job was. He was a contractor.
Mm-hmm.
He tells her the contractors were cool.
Yep.
Ellie
funny thinks
guy.
That genuinely the where they just were in Jackson, just like, was that what the whole world was
right.
like?
Right.
Yeah.
And he's like, no. But it's like, I mean, in terms of kind of what she means, it's sort of, yeah.
Yeah.
It's a functioning little... People go to the movies.
Yeah.
There's a bar.
He's clearly
it's too
hung
literal.
Up on you, the communist part of it.
Yeah.
He's like, well, there are some people who wanted to own everything and some people who didn't want to own anything, which is, in my opinion, a very reductive argument.
Me, I just did my job.
Which
because
was...
I am the main character.
Which happened to be in a capitalist society. So, hey.
We know where you stand, Joel.
Yeah.
I'm complicit.
Mr. Pickup Truck?
Yeah.
No way that you're...
Mr. Don't Tread on Me?
Yeah.
And so, yeah, they have this more bonding, like literally closer than ever, sitting on the back of this horse.
Oh, yep. They're talking about football now.
Yeah, he's teaching her about the old world, really raising this kid.
Yeah.
Here, and they make it without incident to
the highway.
The uni in half the time they thought.
Yeah.
So, good thing that... nothing happens. That's where the episode ends.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he's describing football to her when... The show was on a different day last week because of the Super Bowl. So I think she knows what football is.
Yeah. That's a hell of an oversight.
Joel, I know. We did this Friday last week.
I guess they showed a one big flashback of a football game.
Oh,
to
yeah.
To really
that's,
give the
that's
context.
That's what that was. Yeah. Right, if you tuned in.
Yeah. I get it. They're referencing football.
Oh, it's another one of those breakout episodes.
He teaches her about what college was.
At least Bill and Frank was, you know.
This one's even
around.
Gayer somehow.
Teaches her about monkeys.
Yep.
Yeah, that was
they
cool.
See monkeys.
Little lab monkeys there who are thriving now.
Oh, they get a little Basement Jacks video clip.
Oh, yeah.
Monkeys running around in the lab.
And unfortunately, so they find this sort of Firefly's part, but it's empty. There's no one there.
They've got a little list of stuff to pack and get out of there, so it's pretty clear that...
Did you pack the packing list? Oh, no! I left it behind.
And then having to defend yourself, but we don't need it now. We're gone.
Yeah.
So, yeah, kind of a dead end here. Like, there's monkeys and bullshit.
Yeah. I guess it is a dead end. Isn't it, Adam?
Oh.
Now, funny you should unwittingly
mention. They should have called
that.
The episode Dead End.
Yeah, so they've tied up their horse and unfortunately when they're inside, unfortunately, some bad guys show up.
Yeah. Unfortunately, some potential murderers arrive.
Yeah, there's like a little gang of, you know,
ruffians,
trouble-looking guys.
Romers, raiders.
Yeah.
Whatever they
Raiders, they call them. Yeah.
And Joel and Ellie try to sneak back to the horse and get out without incident, but a guy charges them with a baseball bat.
Yeah, he
and
must Ellie's have been
like,
really close.
What is that for? Is that for football? And Joel's like, I kind of, but I'll tell you later.
You didn't watch last week?
Bang.
Good duck.
Yeah.
Yeah, and there's a little scuffle between the two. Joel fucking kills this man.
Yeah. With his bare, with his sleeved arm.
Mm.
Ellie's there with the gun ready to go, and Joel's like, nah, let daddy have a little fun.
Yeah. Well, because he specifically mentions, like, when he's talking to Tommy, she had to kill this fucking kid for me.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
I'd have taken him out in moments back in the day, but I was too deaf to hear him come up and get me, which has happened again here.
Yep.
And then I couldn't take him out myself because I was too distracted or something.
But hey, a nice shower, bit of scotch, and a couple of movies in at Jackson.
Yeah.
Stella's got his groove back.
I'm snapping necks again, and I'm all good. But again, unfortunately,
in quite the turn,
Joel's been fucking shanked by the base of a baseball bat.
Yeah.
Real bad looking poke.
Yeah, that's going to get infected. And not in the usual way.
Not in the good way.
Yeah, not in the funny way.
Not in the good special effects way.
No.
They managed to scrabble away from the other three guys, but...
This was good. I like this scene.
Hey, by the way, is this the only episode so far where we haven't seen a single infected? Bitch, I think it might be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you're right. I really thought we were going to in the college, but no, just
we
just
saw
raiders.
A dead one in ep one, and you see one in like a long shot on a roof at the
start. I don't think there was an active one in the fourth episode, maybe, where they go to Kansas City.
Oh,
I don't remember
yeah,
if there was like an actual. There were like lots of dead bodies and stuff.
There was dead.
We had the rumble under the ground.
Yeah,
yeah, that's true. Okay, never mind.
So two episodes without one in a show about zombies.
Yeah,
is
these guys are crazy. These MFs be crazy.
I'm surprised someone didn't say if the writing is up to the standard that we're maybe discussing that people are the real monsters.
I know.
If they say that, I'm on your ship.
Okay. I
won't watch another second of this show if they say that. I know we got to do this is work.
Yeah,
but
you can sit
I'm
in the
out.
Room and no, face out. The other way and block your ears, and then we'll just bring you onto the pod.
Every episode after that will be you going, I remember the episode where they said people are the real monsters, and then we're like, no, and then it shows us remembering that moment. But yeah, Joel's fucked.
Joel's fucked.
They managed to ride away, but Joel is pale as fuck. He's dead as hell.
His eyes are closed. We're freeze framed on him going to sleep.
Yeah, he's bleeding profusely out of a key part of his body, which is the gut.
That's
and then
right.
I thought this is thorax. Again, this is a bridge too far where we get the flashback to the time that he looked up the word death in the dictionary.
Yeah,
it's like we get
and there was a picture of him.
Yeah. But Ellie has like a very well acted again. Like Joel. Don't die. I need you here. What the fuck's happening?
Oh,
heartbreaking.
I've started to feel myself well up.
Yeah.
I started to feel the tears forming. And thank God for the comedic relief of, we were watching this on my PlayStation, the little notification coming up that my controller was running low on battery.
Yes. Yeah.
Really
it
took
was
the tension
loud as hell.
Right out of the room. Thank God.
It nailed its timing as well.
It was so
and then,
good.
Yeah, it was perfect timing. And then the very maudlin song kicked in as well. To really
give it slightly more credit than I had given it, I just saw that it was a Depeche Mode song. Which is another the same as when the 80s
right.
Trouble
one.
Thing was playing.
Yep. Yeah.
Thematically, that is a cool touch.
Yes.
I just didn't like how
However,
twee this song
sounds. I hate,
yeah,
this,
the
I hate
twee,
this kind of shit.
The twee
yeah.
acoustic cover of the 80s dance song, though, is...
Yeah.
Ooh, mama.
What,
I also
just
when it's
actually Depeche Mode?
No, it's a cover. It's a cover.
Is it really? Yeah, right.
I it's like a female vocalist as well. Yeah.
I only know that now because the subtitle said Depeche Mode, but I like that choice of like same 80s.
It's a rendition.
You know what? Oh, it's a cut. It's that actual. I think it's that actual song.
Yeah, it's the same, that's what I'm saying. It's
right.
It's a cover of that song.
So I'm dumb as hell and didn't pick up on that bit, but yeah, the choice of it's. But also, again, like the world of fucking bad video game trailers in particular. A fucking low, slow version of that is very done.
Already ending something with this style of thing.
Right.
This style of thing in general.
Yeah.
Not really overly my bag.
The Social Network trailer was the first one. It was the cover of Creep, remember?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
By some choir. And
it was.
Very good.
I'm taking a ride with my best friend. Yeah, the lyrics are quite on the nose, I have to say.
Joel falling off. But at the same time, we had the experience with the third episode of other people being like, the song they used at that one part was from all these other things. And because we didn't pick up on didn't give a shit about it.
And look, who's to say?
The mileage may vary.
Already a very, like, you know, sentimental, very sad moment.
Hey, you're not wrong.
Great performance by Bella Ramsey.
Yes.
Who's to say?
I think great performance by Pedro Pascal.
Oh yeah, he's being really still.
I'm convinced. Yeah.
He looked dead.
He looked real dead.
Who's to say that if the DualSense controller warning hadn't come up, maybe we would love. You know, we would have all been bawling our eyes out and been like, best moment of the show so far. We'll never know.
We will never know. Yeah.
If we weren't sitting so far apart on this L couch, maybe things would have. That's the end of the episode.
That's
Joel
episode 6.
Off his horse, and after an episode of Joel feeling like he's going to fail the person he's traveling with.
Yeah.
And then immediately doing that.
It's so fast.
Yeah.
It's after 5 days. They rushed for him to fail.
Yeah.
But I really enjoyed the episode. I liked it, how it. I liked the bonding and the like progression for Joel and Ellie here. I thought that was really well done, and overall I was like entertained the whole time and liked, again, having good actors delivering stuff really helps, because didn't feel that sort of clunky writing thing for this at all. And then had those couple of bits of it where I was like, oh, that's cheesy,
right?
Yeah,
which is maybe a little bit more in the directing, right?
Yeah, I guess so. But overall really liked this one as like, these characters moving forward, and also in how it is as an adaptation of this section of the game, I thought was really,
lots of really beautiful moments. Like, Joel seeing Tommy, the argument between Ellie and Joel, and then this bit right at the end. Those three things really, really did it for me.
My favorite bit was the, we get to see who the captions were edited by. I love the opening with the married couple.
Yeah,
which is not that's unique to the show, right?
Yeah.
I thought those two actors were particularly nailing, I think, a specific tone that maybe the direction or even just whoever, you know, wrote the script for this episode is a little different to the ones I've enjoyed more. But I do think specifically those performances were great. And I think the high level, which I guess is just from the game, the overall progression of their relationship, and the experiences they're having is, I still completely buy, and I am sure there will be many more episodes to come that I enjoy.
It's been like them not having the space to show a slow progression of a relationship that the game has, of all these sections where they're chatting to each other while they're doing stuff.
Right. Which they're more incidental, and so they feel a bit more natural. Right.
Being able to move in the same way without that stuff, I'm keeping being impressed by it, and agree that I think my favorite moments from this show overall have been the bit in Indonesia, that cold open.
Yep.
Like most of episode 3 was basically like seeing these other people in unique situations in this setting.
Yep.
This show does that really well.
Yeah. Mm. So I think that's going to do us for the bulk of what we're talking about here. And we'll
get into
the
spoiler-free section.
Yeah.
Quarantine zone. So if you've not interacted with any of the Last of Us video games, or even perhaps not the second one yet.
Right.
I think we do tend to, the spoilers for both of the games and then things that are upcoming in the show as a result of that. So
this is the bit to stop unless you don't care about anything being spoiled.
Right. Yeah.
It's everything in the world that could be about The Last of Us we talk about
yes.
in the next bit.
You have to have taken down every bit of Last of Us media that exists.
Or not give a shit. God, that's cool of you.
But give a shit.
It's great.
It's good, and it's going to keep being good.
Yeah, don't let this be the way you interact with the story is hearing us.
Because it also won't make sense. If your show only dip out now, thanks for listening.
Yes.
ClickerIBarelyKnowHer@gmail.com is where to send emails to.
Yep. And thank you for continuing to do that. We've also got an Instagram page.
Yes.
@ClickerIBarelyKnowHer. So get on that. You can message us through that if you would prefer to do that rather than email.
Yeah.
If you haven't done so yet, if you would like to get on your podcast app of choice and chuck us a nice review, all that sort of stuff helps. Recommend the show to a friend.
Yeah.
All that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
We really appreciate it. Thank you for listening.
Yes.
If you're happy with spoilers, stick around. Bad podcast alarm.
You are now entering the quarantine zone.
This is the quarantine zone.
You have now entered the quarantine zone.
Spoilers, 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 spoilers. Sorry, I'm watching a bunch of race cars go by.
Okay.
I wrote down more
notes. You were the first person I ever saw to do a Fast and Furious spoiler joke.
Really?
Yeah. You did it on stage in 2012 or something.
Ages ago.
Yeah. What's so everyone else out there, you're not allowed to do them, just Knox.
Yeah, bitch. I'm Tokyo Drift.
Yeah, or you'll be bloody derivative mushroom sauce.
One thing I did forget to mention that truly doesn't matter.
Yes.
Please, Ellie, the floor is yours.
This is the perfect place to do it.
Ellie shoots behind her again from that horse, and man, she loves to shoot a gun behind her ineffectively.
Waste a bullet. I also just saw, it's not necessary part of recapping the episode, but we all assumed that the bloater suit from, or the bloater from last week was bad CGI. It was a suit. It was a physical bloke flailing around.
Yep.
Eating people. He really ripped someone's head off.
A big old bastard.
He's going to jail.
Yeah.
Which I heard them talk about it on the HBO podcast, and they talk about their justification for that they went back and forth should we have the bloater in the show at all? And then they were like, we got to put the bloater in.
Yeah.
And their justification being that the way that, that you've had these little drips and drabs of here's how people evolve if they're left alone, infected. And that this would have already been a person that was quite big, quite large, potentially quite violent. So the fact that, we were commenting on the fact that he's
a fucking bloater
running around, ripping people up and stuff, and it seemed a little
like that was his brain beforehand.
Yeah,
anyway.
A little big budget action movie kind of didn't make sense and took us out of it a bit.
I think Knox, you're like, why isn't he infecting them? Yeah.
It's their justification was this would be, and it's someone that's really stayed alive by being big enough to kind of fight off, keep the virus at bay to where it doesn't just kill them.
And his,
I thought that was kind of interesting that they... I knew that there would be some kind of reasoning behind that. But
I think we kind of said something a bit like that too.
What is the part of your brain, the whatever it is, it's that hasn't been taken over by...
It won't even tell on itself. In there.
The medulla oblongata?
Yeah, your fucking amygdala?
I think I'm thinking of the amygdala. Yeah. That bit of the brain which is extreme emotional responses and stuff.
Yeah.
I've got four little notes here.
Ooh.
That I noticed of things that relate to...
Do, re, mi, fa?
A, B, C, D?
You've each had a go? And you're both right.
Oh.
Which doesn't make sense.
They're notes that are relevant to the show. Okay.
A lot of it is a big thing from this that I think that, we kind of were like, was that from the... Was that they show Jackson...
Yes.
...in a way that they don't in the game until 2,
yep.
we think. Because you do go there in 1.
You go to the dam. I haven't played 1 for a long time, but my memory of it was, they come across... The horsemen, and they get taken through the forest, beautiful snowy forest, new thing in the game, new environment.
It's summer there too. Like, it's not snowy when you go to Jackson in the game.
Yeah, right.
Winter is the boom, now Ellie's alone.
Yeah. But you're going through this forest, and then, you come across this dam. It's a very,
It's autumn.
Autumn. Sorry. Yeah, it's autumn. Quite a memorable image, they're living in a fucking hydroelectric dam, and then... Yeah, I think you remembered, Knox. They see Jackson, but you don't go into the city proper.
You look at Jackson and he's like, the kids will be watching movies tonight.
Right.
And like, it's Jackson from a distance. But yeah, I don't think you actually go in the town proper. You do meet Tommy and Maria at the dam.
Which makes sense for the game, right?
You don't shoot out at the dam.
Right. Yeah. And you don't want the player to feel safe at this point. Like,
sure.
You don't want that comfort of being like, oh, it's a real normal place.
And well, it makes sense for the story, but unless you're going to have some exploration or combat in there, there's no reason to fully render it and have it be an explorable.
Because Ellie finds out Joel's going to leave and then runs away to this other cabin in the woods.
Right.
And that's where they have that conversation. And he's like, what the fuck were you doing? Like, you're putting yourself in danger. And I kind of liked that bit because it shows his like sort of paternal instincts kick in before they really discuss it.
Yeah.
Like he's like, shit, where'd my daughter go?
Yeah.
And I like that bit, and that's not there. But anyway, we see Jackson. Couple of little bits and pieces around Jackson.
Could you call them Easter eggs?
I think you could call them fun references.
Things you might not have noticed.
I think it's 20 things you didn't notice.
Okay.
Well, that's like a condescending YouTube title. Maybe I noticed them. You don't know my life. But we're pretty sure that was Dina.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that makes sense.
That Ellie was telling a fuck off.
Yeah.
Because I thought, I wonder if she'll come back. It's a weird thing to hang on.
Yeah.
For... Yeah. You know what? As much as I was saying earlier, they'll probably get a bit more confidence with the making of this show and ditch the flashbacks.
Yeah.
Get ready.
I'd love it
get
if
ready.
She was just like, the first thing you ever said to me was to fuck off.
Yeah, well, then they'll show the flashback if
please
anything.
Please leave it there, yeah.
Cool, because by that point it'll be in a different season too, right? So it's like they're really going back.
Oh, it'll be because like they show... I think, Dina, they show clearly like the dance hall where they have that dance where like...
Yep.
Yeah.
Like the guy gets into the fight with Ellie and Dina.
Yep. With all the fairy lights.
Yep. Mm. Shimmer was the horse.
Yes.
That you ride and gets blown up.
Yeah.
We saw that horse as a baby horse.
Fuck, yeah.
That horse is going to get exploded later.
Yeah.
This all plays
very
into my,
shocking moment.
This all plays into my theory about the end of the season and...
I was going to
that
say,
we're going
to
get a little... We're going to get some... get a little
forward.
Bit backstory of...
bit of connective tissue.
Yeah, Abby's father. We're going to see more of that. We're potentially going to see younger Abby, maybe.
I have the very strong feeling, and yeah, I think you mentioned last week, Knox, like we talk about this every week in this section,
right,
of what's going to happen in the next season.
Yeah,
it'll be no time jump. Abby will be around the same age as Ellie. It'll be like Joel and Ellie come back from the hospital to Jackson and resume or begin to live their life there.
I mean, certainly seeing this, how much this is all Last of Us 2 shit.
That's why it makes sense.
Okay. I mean, the difference is, in when you're making one, you're like, there's no reason for us to have you go into the town. It's cool to know that it's there, but it's there it is.
This story ends at the end of this game.
Yeah, with this, it's like, you've got that opportunity to thread this stuff in.
Yeah.
One thing I did wonder is, so there's a bit where Ellie is, they're talking specifically about Ellie being immune and them able to make a vaccine and her confessing to Joel that she tried to put, rub her blood onto Sam's wound because
so
she's like, am I going to be able to save the whole world? And just like...
Yeah,
there
we should have talked about that in the moment. Anyway.
There was just something about that kind of made me think, and again, it sort of goes to some of the stuff you've been thinking, Ben, like, I wonder if like conversations like that are starting to telegraph a little bit the choice that Joel is going to have to make,
that maybe it
at
won't
the
be effective
end of the series, because like I think if you really thought about it, I feel like in the game I didn't get much of a chance to really think about it all that much
the
reality of like delivering her to these people would be, and also a narrative beat like that isn't something that's really ever done in video games, so it was surprising. But TV series do end with intense moral dilemmas for their main characters pretty regularly at the end of seasons, and like kind of putting this out there a bit more, I think if you do think about it too much, your brain probably does go to a point of like, are they going to just take blood from her and look at it and that'll be enough to, you know what I mean? Like if you are given enough chance to think about it, maybe it is signposting that like, they're going to do some bad shit to her at the end.
Right.
That's what happens in this show.
Right. Yeah.
It's hard to say, right?
Yeah.
With those sorts of things.
We have to bloody wipe our memories to, you know, be able to approach
I'll be just interested to see if there's a response from people who haven't played the game at the whether it's like is starting to get a bit like you could see this being spelled out. And similar to that, I wonder, the end of this ep.
I think
maybe people probably really sucked in by thinking Joel gone.
Yeah. I think it won't, because in the game, the thing of Marlene being like, she's going to die when we do this, is meant to be a bit of a like, oh, fuck.
Yeah, it's a very, it's within the last 10% of the game.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's, so I guess probably this will try to have the same turn and not pepper it too much.
I think if anything, what it's doing is making Joel's choice more understandable and relatable to the audience.
Mm.
It's making him more someone who's... personal history, you know, explains why he would be unwilling to sacrifice a daughter surrogate.
Beyond just first dead daughter, but also like, maybe it doesn't work.
Maybe it doesn't work. Maybe you can't trust everyone.
Yeah.
You know?
I like, because so much of 2 relies on the fact that, yeah, Joel did the wrong thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, they need to make it not relate, like, or not even... It obviously is relatable because heaps of people will do selfish shit for their own families.
Yeah, right.
You know, I don't think you even need any justification beyond that, right?
A lot gets said about how the weird thing that is in a lot of games, that is especially in the end of Last of Us 1, where Joel makes this decision when he's just gone through a hospital and murdered dozens, you the player, have murdered dozens and dozens and dozens and dozens of people.
Yeah.
Which I don't think you can have in the show, right? Mm. You can't have him go through the hospital and wipe out every fucking...
6 or 7.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And maybe that happening and seeing him do that on a TV show is the thing that you need for the audience to definitely be like, nah, you're fucked, mate. Like,
well, at the end of the day, all he really needs
to
kill is...
There's no justification for that.
Yeah. All he really needs to kill for the story is that... The one doctor.
Yeah.
They could find a way to get away with it.
That you, I think, don't even need to kill in the game.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
know, like, it, and they've done a good job of peppering through the, like, he's got a dark past, he's got a dark past,
yeah.
he's got a dark past, showing him flip out once or twice.
He'll kill innocent people is
so
the thing, yeah.
It'll make that turn make sense and be like, I guess we did know Joel was like this.
Yeah.
So it won't seem surprising. Here's something. That, so the hospital, right, leads to Abby killing him.
Yep.
Do you reckon that cunt's holding a golf club on the right? I thought there was like a little golf club, little foreshadowy thing. The guy walking along, it looked like a golf club to me.
Yeah, it could be a golf club.
It might also just be some shit that he's holding. When Joel's having the panic attack, leaving like the argument with Tommy, it looked to me like a guy was holding, it's a shovel. I saw it better just then. The other one that I'd noticed was Joel's lying through this episode.
Mm.
That's something they're building in where like... when they're at the dam, he's like, don't ask me how this works. I don't know. And Ellie goes, you can make something up. I probably believe you.
Oh, yeah.
And
oh, yeah.
That's a little foreshadowy because then later on when he's on the horse, he tells her like, yeah, contractors, we used to be really cool.
Yeah.
She buys it. And it's a ridiculous lie.
Yeah.
And she's just so invested in like... trusting this man.
Yeah.
Mm.
I liked that little bit.
Yeah.
She was before, which is why she was annoyed that he wasn't going to... that he was going to abandon her.
Right.
But now he's gone back on that. So it's like, this guy is my guy forever.
Yeah.
Exactly. Like he, yeah, exactly. So, and she's literally just like fucking literally leaning on him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
On the horse, you know, like, so I liked that they're showing that power he has over her in terms of lying specifically, lying about stuff at the end of this.
Yeah. I also think, it's hard to separate having already seen the story, but for the audience, having such a severe change of dynamic where it's like either you believe Joel is dead or you're like, well, if he's alive, Ellie's in charge.
Yeah.
Ellie has to take all the responsibility. It's a massive shift in what the show is potentially going to be.
Because what we're likely getting for the next couple of episodes is Ellie. Because it'll be the Left Behind stuff in flashback form.
Yeah.
I think
constantly it's... her looking at things that remind her of the old stories.
Yeah.
But then also her dealing with what's his name? I think it's Troy Baker in this, is the cannibal.
Ah, right.
Oh, really?
I think that's who he's playing in this.
And that's like a small group of people?
That was like kind of a biggish group because, I mean, okay. You fight a lot of them in the game.
Oh, yeah, sure.
They're living in a town.
Because you fight them in like the barn or something. Or like
there's
a big
fair few of them, and then there's a restaurant that starts burning down.
Yeah.
You're fighting the main guy in. But there's a few of them.
I think it'll be interesting to see, yeah, how they handle this next bit because,
the next couple will be Ellie. So it's very possible that people will be like, oh, Joel's dead.
Yeah, sure.
I could imagine we go, next episode is all left behind.
Yeah.
That DLC story. So it's like a little fake out thing where you think like, oh, we'll find out at the next episode if he's dead or not.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Then it's like you have to wait a whole other week to find that out.
Good call.
But I think that, again, it's not to talk about too much of how we think they're going to tackle season two. Mm-hmm. But that is the big question, is how they handle that character switch that was such a pivotal part of how you played the second game and something that's so specific to you being a player of a game. But they do that in one. Like, you all of a sudden have this shift where you're playing as Ellie. So this is kind of an interesting test of, like, this next episode of, like, how they pull the rug out from under you as a viewer. And then, yeah, having a week where it's like...
I mean, I think...
All flashback ep is like, that's kind of a good way
Bill
of doing
and Frank
it.
Frank was that.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
So, like, I'm looking forward to them doing that because of that one.
Yeah.
Wow, there was something... Oh yeah, it's hard to know as well with the Joel dead thing because even before playing the game, the way that game press is, I feel like I didn't think Joel was dead in that either.
Yeah, I think at the time it felt like a bit of a tropey thing of like, oh, it looks like, but he's actually. I feel like knowing media at the time, even we were like. I'll be back.
I could see people getting suckered by this though,
the way
because
HBO
we're
HBO shows. Are
yeah,
as well,
exactly.
And this show has been that
exactly.
Has, someone significant has died in every episode.
Exactly. Yeah. So I could definitely see some people getting to the end and thinking like, "Whoa, okay."
Yeah.
Hmm.
I'm interested to know, but
I was going to do a call out for emails, but
yeah,
you're not listening.
you better not be.
If
at
you
this
want,
point.
Maybe you know. Yeah. If you want, I imagine there's plenty of people listening to this bit who are watching with a partner who has not interacted with any of the other stuff. So
that's
yeah,
true.
Let
and
us
like,
know
if you've played both of the games and right now in the show you think Joel is dead. Then I've got some shit that I'd love to sell you.
Yeah, you're looking a little bit too far ahead in the story. I think you've got it mixed up.
Yeah. Any other little bits and bobs?
I'm loving Bella Ramsey's performance.
She's fucking great, man.
Really,
she's so good.
Really good.
Accent work like that.
Yep.
She's doing a better job of her accent than Pedro Pascal is. And
yeah.
I don't think his is terrible, but like he's dropped a lot of the Texan-ness that Joel had in the game.
Yeah, yeah.
And she's fucking nailing
really,
the voice in particular.
Really just convincing... every aspect of her performance, I reckon.
I do think that's what's like making... Because we have very similar things that will piss you and me... that will make
He's talking
like,
to me.
To bit, yeah, sorry. But in with writing that will make us go like, ugh.
Mm.
And the fact that I'm not feeling that way, I think is a lot of that to do with how good these performances are. Too.
Adults riding just, kids. It's always tricky.
Right.
It's one of the first things... that sticks out is like, oh, this isn't a child talking.
And Ellie is a complex child as well.
And like a smart, cool kid.
Right.
You know, who's tough and won't take no shit.
Yeah.
They're the worst ones all the time.
Yes.
Back
yes.
off, mister.
The fact that, their banter is not obnoxious at any point.
Yeah. There's a thing that Craig Mazin talks about on the HBO podcast about like, writing the age of Ellie being such a challenge in anything, and especially in this, where it's an age that his friend referred to as "fuck you, now tuck me in," where it's like, "want me independence," but shit. I'm still a baby.
Right.
Until it was described that way, I'd never felt any connection to the idea of being a man child. "Fuck you, tuck me in" sounds like the best fucking way to be.
It's really good. It's a really good descriptor.
Fuck me, tuck me in.
Now we're talking.
It's the 35-year-old
version. Real grown up.
All right, well, we better wrap it up there. Thank you once again, everyone, for checking out the show and for sticking with us through the quarantine zone.
Yes.
Once again, clickerabellyknower@gmail.com. get on the socials, leave us a review. Thank you for listening, and we will see you next week.
Bye.
Goodbye.